The Phil Nason Show. That was John Fogerty, Centerfield, on the Tuesday, June the 4th edition of The Phil Nason Show. And I want to thank you all for taking the time to listen each and every day at 5 p.m. Eastern on Max Sports Channels and again at 10 p.m. Eastern on TalkSuperStation.com and at various times throughout the day on Independent Radio LA. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We have a very good show planned for you today. It's Tuesday, and that means we have fantasy baseball today. And joining me on the line from RotoWire.com, please welcome Mr. Nick Falk to the Phil Nason Show. Nick, how you doing today, man? What's up?
Hey, doing well. Thanks. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, it's my pleasure. A lot of fun, as always. You know, the last time we were here 2 weeks ago, we started getting inquiries about trades. and people were enjoying that. And we had some trades come in over the last 2 weeks. I verified all these, that none of these have occurred yet, but they're waiting to hear what we have to say. So I told them they had to listen. But up first, Nick, what we have here is, this is an interesting little trade here. Miguel Cabrera has been requested, and they want to offer for him David Ortiz and Robinson Cano. That is interesting. I don't know what to think about that exactly. What would you do with that kind of trade?
That's a tough one. Cabrera is easily the top fantasy player in the league right now, top hitter. He's just been a triple crown last year, first time since 67, and he's got a legitimate chance to do it again. He's leading almost every category except home runs, as Chris Davis has kind of been playing out of his mind this year too. So it's tough to part with a guy like Cabrera, I'd say, in any situation. But at the same time, Robinson Cano is the top second baseman probably out there as well. He's got 14 home runs on the year, so he's a top player at his position. And then Adin Ortiz, who has been playing pretty well too. And he also, the tough part about Ortiz is he's a little limited in position eligibility, being that he's a DH, but if a league still has him with first base eligibility, that would help a lot. So I think that is a potential hang up there, but I would really have a tough time parting ways with Cabrera in any way at all. So I don't know how I feel completely.
Well, I'll tell you what, listen to this slash line from Miguel Cabrera. 369, 445, 677. His OPS is 1.121. And here, this is the thing. You're right, I would have a hard time too. This guy has 65 RBIs. Now, this is through 54 games played, because we record this on Sunday evening. And I believe, I don't have the stats in front of me for what he did on Sunday. But Nick, this guy's on pace for 200 RBIs. I mean, I don't think I would part ways with Miguel Cabrera for just about anybody, I don't think. And then you have here David Ortiz. Now, here's another guy, though. You know, it all depends really on what you need, what is going to get you through your league. I honestly don't think that, and these are two great acquisitions. If you can get a Robinson Cano or a David Ortiz, you're doing pretty well under normal circumstances. But I don't think combined that Cano and Ortiz are going to equal Miguel Cabrera for an entire season. Do you?
It's tough, because I think, like, counting stats wise, they may compete with that. But then I guess if I was looking to get a 2-for-1, it would be a little more interesting if you were, like, short on certain categories or positions that fill a need, like if there's a stolen base guy or a more well-rounded player than those two. I don't know, because like Cabrera, I mean, I remember looking just even a few years ago at like single season records and seeing, I believe it's Hack Wilson from the early 1900s had the RBI record, and it's like, oh, that's never going to be touched. But the fact that Cabrera already has 65 in 54 games, I just am like, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a point where that slows down, but I mean, it's pretty incredible. It's like historic right there watching him.
And the thing is it doesn't matter where they throw the ball, he hits it. I mean, it's amazing watching Cabrera hit. You know what, though? If you were going to do this trade, would you take a frontline pitcher in addition to the two? It would almost take that. You'd almost need that, right? Because David Ortiz and Robinson Cano, while great additions to your team, geez, I don't know. I wouldn't do it for Miguel Cabrera. But if they threw in, say, a frontline pitcher, somebody with a whip of less than 1.20, ERA less than 3.5, would you do it then?
Yeah, I think for me, personally, I'm like not as much of a fan of Ortiz at this point. He has great numbers, but my, as far as like in a trade like this, he's had injury issues over his career, and a lot of times they'll go on, if he's cold, he can go really cold at times, and the heel issues that he's had, it's just kind of those recurring nagging injuries that kind of can just like hamper his performance without him sitting out even. So Cano is definitely good to have, and so I would probably consider it more if it was Cano and either a top starting pitcher or a top position guy in another spot, maybe.
So bail on Ortiz, but take Cano, another pitcher, and another position player? Because I wouldn't just do a pitcher. I don't know if I would do just a pitcher and Cano for Miguel Cabrera. That'd be tough, I think.
Yeah, that would be really tough just because it's a different kind of position. You're not getting a guy that's going to he'll throw it the most twice a week. So I don't know. It would have to take quite a bit to pry him away from me.
I would think it would take a lot more than that to pry him away from me. But it is an interesting trade offer, though. I mean, that's kind of crazy. That's fantasy baseball, though. I don't know what league this guy plays in, and I don't know what his roster looks like. I probably should have asked. But if you have Miguel Cabrera, you better keep him, I think. Unless you get a good pitcher and someone like Cano and obviously another position player, I would do it then. For sure. But as it stands, no thank you. But be polite about it when you say no thank you. Right, yeah. Nick? Be polite. Oh, yeah. Be polite. I wish somebody would offer me Miguel Cabrera because I have Robinson Cano on one of my teams. Jeez. If you do that for me, I'll give you half my team because one of my teams is in the toilet. I can't get out of it either. It's just horrendous. I'm at a point where I'm ready to just delete the team. I don't even want to look. All right, Nick, we got another one. This one is interesting too, but this came in right after Memorial Day when everything changed. This one is a trade for Jim Johnson for Brandon McCarthy. What do you think about that trade?
Yeah, that one, definitely the status of that has changed. I think McCarthy's on the DL now. I'm not sure the exact like expectation on when he'll return yet, but he had been starting to like turn it around this season and look like a good option. I liked him going into the season and stuff, but Jim Johnson, I think kind of gets, I feel like, not enough credit for how many, it's kind of like a lot of, he doesn't have the dominant closer stuff that like the, you know, Aroldis Chapman 100-mile-an-hour fastball or the Rivera cutter. So, but he really gets the job done, and that's all you need on your closer. And he does have a high ERA, like a 4.85, I think, on the season. But he's also put together 17 saves, which at the end of the day, like, because he's not thrown as many innings, it's not going to hurt the ERA as much as like a starter would. I think the saves will, that's kind of what you're looking for in the end. And he's going to have the job.
Yeah, I don't know. He had a tough week. He got a save on Sunday. So he's up to 18 saves. You're right, he is underrated. But he had a horrendous week this week. Blew a couple saves. His ERA is way up there. But, you know what people forget is this guy had 51 saves last year. And no one expected that. And like you said, he doesn't have the big time stuff like a lot of closers. But he and until last week, I was over at RotoWire before the show here visiting the site as I always do. And it says, you know, he went from, Johnson went from at the beginning of the season to high job security to like medium. He could lose his gig if he blows it. I mean, one more save he could lose. But Brandon McCarthy is out for 15 days, but they haven't even put a timetable on when he's coming back. He has to have an MRI. So that's never good. If someone's offering you Jim Johnson for Brandon McCarthy, you take that trade in a heartbeat because you don't know what Brandon McCarthy is going to do. And this trade is still going on, too. I confirm that. They're just, like I said, waiting for us to tell them something. Jeez. If Brandon McCarthy were healthy, would you make this trade?
It would depend on what your closer situation is. I mean, it is tough. Like, Johnson, really, he has had a rough go. And it's at the same time, though, this year it's shown how many closers teams have gone through. And if you don't have other options at closer, then it might not be worth getting rid of Johnson. But McCarthy was interesting if he hadn't been hurt, because he was finally starting to get it together again. But he's not a high strikeout guy either, so I guess it mostly just depends on what your team needs are and if you could part with Johnson or McCarthy either way.
Yeah, I don't know. If I had Brandon McCarthy and someone offered me Jim Johnson, I would take it. I would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely would.
Now, 2 weeks ago, this would have been a really interesting trade. I mean, now I don't know. They say it's going to go through, possibly, but I would be careful with that. If you can get Jim Johnson for Brandon McCarthy, obviously you take him. But if you have Jim Johnson, or if you're the one with Jim Johnson, you might want to think twice about that, because who knows when McCarthy is going to come back, Nick. He could be gone for the entire season. You never know with these guys and their shoulders. Terrible. Anyway, good luck with that trade. Here's another one we have. This one will give us something to discuss, man. This will be fun. Adam Jones for Joey Votto. That is an interesting trade. This is the one that really piqued my interest. What about you? What do you think about that idea?
That is very interesting, because it would be, before I would like commit to one or the other, it would probably be, I'd have to like find out what other players are on each team's roster. But like, I think on the whole, I really like Joey Votto quite a bit. And Adam Jones like had a big year last year with the home runs jump. Now he hit 32 last year. He's got 11 this year already. And actually has more RBI and higher, I don't know, batting average is probably comparable and on the season as a whole. And Jones can definitely run more too. So outfield doesn't quite have the, when you have to fill out potentially five roster spots on your team, Jones has a lot of value because the replacement option won't be the same at outfield. But Votto is just a pure hitter. He just likes to, like he said, I think his quote, which was kind of funny and easy, was like, he just doesn't want to make outs, which sounds so simple yet not easy to do. And his on-base percentage is awesome as always. Like, he's has a .462 on-base percentage, which is right in line with the past really five seasons. He's been above .400 by quite a bit. So his home runs were down last year when he was hurt, but at the same time, he's just a steady presence out there too.
Yeah, Votto is pretty good. His the only thing that's down this year from his career stats is the slug at .538. But yeah, he's even stolen a couple bases. He strikes out a bit, and he walks a lot though too, and he scores runs. He's a good player, but you know, the thing about Joey Votto is I worry about his health sometimes. You know, he lost a lot of last season, didn't he? And I would worry about that. Now, Adam Jones, that's an interesting one too, because I really like this guy. And you're right, he's ahead of everything just about from last year. He really looks good. Really looks good. He's got a .530 slug, way ahead of his career high. He's ahead of everything career-wise. And he's stolen 9 bases. But he does strike out a bit, doesn't he? He has, what, 45 strikeouts thus far and 8 walks. Oof, would that concern you?
Yeah, I think a little bit, just because that ratio kind of suggests, comparing the two head-to-head, Votto is, like, the ultimate in reading pitches. And so, like, he also has been above 300 every year of his career, basically, early in his career. It was 1 year he was slightly below. But whereas Jones actually has never hit 300 in his career, so that would... He could be a little more slump prone, I guess, if that's a possible category. But I mean, he's a great player who's still just entering his prime too. So I think, I think Jones is a little more risk probably to him overall. But I mean, there's definitely arguments to both depending on what you need for your team too.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. You know what I like about Adam Jones, though, is with Davis so hot, he sees more pitches now than he did in the past. That's helpful. And but he's on fire. I've always been one of those guys who would take an outfielder over a first baseman. I don't know why that is, but I do. I like the stolen base part. I would do this trade. I think it's pretty fair. In the end of the day, what about you? Would you do this?
Yeah, I think so. I probably, if I had just removing rosters, just one versus the other, I would probably take Votto just because I'm a little more, I guess, risk averse in that sense for building my team. But I think I would like to have Jones as well, and they're both really good players. And It just depends on what the team needs are, I guess. Either way, you could have an argument.
Yeah, I think you're right. You could. I would do it. I really would do it. I don't care. I like Adam Jones a lot, and I like Votto a lot, too. Only thing that scares me about Votto is the injuries and the fact that that team is not playing at the same level they were before, and that makes me nervous, too. Really makes me nervous. You know, I thought we were going to take the whole segment for this, but... That was a lot easier than I thought. Pretty straightforward. We've got about 5.5 minutes. I was over at ESPN a little while ago looking at the added drop list. Michael Wacha from St. Louis, the rookie, perhaps sensation. He went from 0% owned, Nick, to 81.6% owned, basically in a couple of days. What do you make of that? Is he someone who could help? Because St. Louis is playing really well right now. Would you go after Wacha while you still had a chance to get him?
I've thought about it a little bit, and their pitching system is just almost unfair. Like, just over the history of their team, it's just like what teams strive to do, basically, because Shelby Miller has shown how they kind of put him in at the right time now and let him go full run, and he's dominating. And Wacha is just as talented, and he's a college arm coming out, so he was only a first-round pick in last year's draft, and he's been so dominant in the minor leagues that it suggested that, I mean, he was going to just pick up right where he left off in the pros and the major leagues. So I don't know. My only concern is, like, wondering, it depends on the health of their staff, if they'll keep him up at the major league level, if he does have any, like, struggles at all for the full season. They haven't really said what kind of workload they want to put on him, because he's only pitched 9 games at the AAA level in his career, and everything else was at AA or before last season. So that's my biggest concern, is figuring out for sure if he's going to be a part of the rotation the rest of the season. But for a short-term thing, he could be a huge pickup. If it'll be interesting if he faces a little, not to rip on the Royals offense in the least, but they were struggling a little bit, and he definitely capitalized. I think he's very talented and another example of what is to come in St. Louis for their pitching. But yeah, that, my biggest concern, I guess, is if he'll stay all year on the team.
That would be my concern. And you're right. You know, that's the whole thing. Sometimes I wonder when I look at these things, you know, you have to remember who this kid pitched against, too. And Kansas City isn't exactly lighting the world on fire. It's like pitching against the Miami Marlins or the New York Mets. People get really excited when they see a guy throw a four-hitter. And while that's great, because they are still Major League Baseball players, they're struggling. Now, the thing about it is how long will he stay? That's the problem. You know, you have these guys on their staff who, well, they do get injured. If he stays for the entire season, it'll be interesting to see what he does. Because he's got great stuff, doesn't he?
Yeah, he really does. And he was, I mean, very impressive to watch. And then they had the rain delay and he kind of got robbed out of a win by the bullpen. But he's, you know, once they figure that out and then seeing him, the only problem is the right time to grab him, because as soon as you get comfortable that he's going to be around for a while, he'll be pretty much gone. So the right time to pick him up is kind of a difficult thing to assess.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but yeah, short term, see who he's pitching against and give him a try. You never know. You know, another guy who jumped, and that we talked about him last time, Matt Joyce. He went from 21% owned to 77.5% owned, a 56% jump. That's another one. But I wonder about Matt Joyce, because you still got this kid, Will Myers, and they're going to be bringing him up at some point. What happens with this guy? Is he a lock for you?
That's, he's already kind of in a platoon situation, and kind of, he's got 10 home runs on the season, which is great, and not terribly surprising considering his history the past few years. But I feel like, I know Myers, they haven't really hinted as to when exactly they plan on bringing him up. He struggled in early May, and I kind of noted that when I was watching the AAA numbers. And then as soon as I noted that, he just went off the past nine games, or roughly 10 games, he's had 17 RBIs and like three home runs and just been on fire. So I don't, they're waiting on his free agent eligibility and now arbitration clock. So early June is when that would be pushing it off a season. So I think it would be not surprising anytime soon if, as soon as the Rays offense is struggling and if he keeps hitting like he has been, Myers would come up, but then that would put potentially moving Zobrist more full-time at second, but Kelly Johnson is hitting great too, so then they'll have to find a spot. But I wouldn't see the problem with putting Myers at DH, because Luke Scott hasn't really been doing excellent at the spot by any means. But so it'd be interesting to see. It'll definitely change Joyce's value a little bit if he comes up.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. All right, great stuff, Nick. You know what we're going to do? We'll take a break, and when we return, we're going to take a look at some more listeners' questions about Kyle Loesch, Ubaldo Jimenez, and Wade Miley, and a couple of others. And we'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen,
tonight we come together.
Cool.
And I think it's cool.
Somebody's going to be having fun tonight.
All I want to do is go have a good time.
Bill Nason.
Some of the things that these people say.
Jimmy Z.
That is such twisted logic.
Alex Jones.
You heard it here first, now it's mainstream news.
Weeknights, starting at 10 Eastern.
Okay, well, let's go party.
Yeah, tomorrow can wait till tomorrow.
Ah, it's a lot of fun.
I said tomorrow can wait till tomorrow. It's all about tonight.
And we'll have fun, I promise.
Yeah.
Weeknights on the Talk Superstation.
It's all about tonight.
If you're moving to the Atlanta area or simply looking to buy that new dream home, we'll look no further than to real estate agent Latricia Friesen. Latrissa has over 10 years in real estate experience, and she's anxious to put you in your brand new home. For more information, you can contact Latrissa at latrissa.com. That's LETRISSA.com.
This Week in Tennis is a weekly tennis program covering all aspects of professional tennis. The most controversial tennis show anywhere deals with issues no one seems to want to touch. For music and hard-hitting commentary, please visit philnaces.com.
Are you tired of boring sports websites that's about the same old company line? If you are, then I'd invite you to stop over to thesportsgoons.com. The Reggie commentary and a weekly podcast highlighting today's issues is second to none. That's thesportsgoons.com. The new media has arrived. Looking for the latest information on your favorite sports team? Why not check out 15-year-old founder Trevor Urenz, ProSportsExtra.com. Updated daily by a staff of over 30 writers, ProSportsExtra.com is the place to be. You can check them out, and I insist that you do, at ProSportsExtra.com.
Hi, this is Phil Nason from The Phil Nason Show and This Week in Tennis. When I'm looking for sports information, my first stop, as well as yours should be, sports-kings.com. Great information, scores, highlights, and exceptional commentary. You can find it all there at sports-kings.com.
Hi, this is Phil Nason from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nason Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio, as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. It is Tuesday afternoon, June the 4th, 2013, and it is Fantasy Baseball Tuesday. And on the line with me from rotowire.com is our good friend, Mr. Nick Falk. Nick, we have so much fun doing this show. We get so much listener questions and comments. One of the folks that guys wanted to hear about, one of the players, Ubaldo Jimenez, because Cleveland's doing so well. Is Ubaldo Jimenez someone who can help your fantasy baseball team? What do you do with a Ubaldo Jimenez?
He's a tough guy to read. After in Colorado 2010, he was just dominant, like lights out, 19-8, 2-8 ERA. And since then, he's kind of been a mid to upper fours and fives ERA, which is never helpful. And the strikeouts haven't been enough to compensate for that. But yeah, Jimenez, he's 4-3 on the season, which is nice to see. But he's still got the 4.83 ERA. Strikeouts are definitely up this season for him. He's striking out about 9.1 strikeouts per nine innings, which is good and above his career average. But at the same time, I'm a little leery about him just because he's kind of been pretty steady over the past 5 years. Not like in 2010, but 2011, 2012, they've all been a little rough. And he does have quite a great offense behind him, which will make for better shot at wins this season compared to last year. But definitely kind of a little leery on that one, unless you're really looking for strikeouts and can afford the ERA deficit, I guess. But yeah, so he's definitely got some nasty stuff. It's just a little hard to control.
That is well put. It's very nice. I'll tell you what, he did a really good job against the Rays on Saturday, though.
Oh, yeah.
Really good job. Four hits, eight innings pitched, one walk, seven strikeouts. That was not bad. That's a good outing. Now, I don't know how much owned he is in ESPN. I wouldn't say he's 100%, though. I doubt that. One of the things that makes me nervous is he gives up a lot of runs. He's given up 32 earned runs in 59 innings. He strikes out a lot of guys, though. But he's all over the place sometimes. I've always been nervous about pitchers from Colorado when they leave. They make me nervous. But this team here, Nick, you're right. They score a lot of runs. That's going to keep him out there on the field longer, too. Because Francona is not going to have to worry about yanking this kid, which means he could give up a lot of runs. How's your team? I would really look at your team ERA when I'm pulling this guy, because right now his ERA is at 4.83, which is, well, a little above his career. But a lot of that has to do with the fact that their offense is so good that they leave him out there longer, I think. I think that's correct. I would be really careful with Ubaldo Jimenez. I wouldn't put him on any of my teams, and I have some real pitching problems right now. Would you put him on your team, Nick?
Not on any of my current teams. I remember back in 2010, like, he started opening day, I believe, against the Brewers, and he was throwing, like, he had a fastball that a two-seamer that came down and in on a righty, and like one that like a cut fastball and tailed away, and he was throwing him like 98 miles an hour on the edge of the strike zone. And I mean, like, I think it was like Ryan Braun said something like, he can't, that's just not even a hittable pitch. But I don't think he's really throwing that kind of location anymore. I think he's probably still got the movement and some of the velocity, but definitely Ubaldo can't really control. I don't know. He'd be scary to face just because I fear getting hit by him and how bad it would hurt. But it's just, I mean, he led the league in wild pitches last season. And it kind of, yeah, I would steer clear if possible.
Yeah, I would do the same. Yeah, I would let him go. Unless you're really desperate, if you're an American League only league and you have him still available, maybe I would take him. But I'd be careful, really careful. Now, another listener, Nick, wanted us to talk about Kyle Loesch. Now, Loesch had some incidents there where he was, his elbow was giving him some trouble. He's currently listed as day-to-day. His last outing, he got roughed up real good. Wow. I don't know. What do you do with Kyle Loesch?
Yeah, he's always been kind of outside of last year, he had a career year, but really he had not been, he's been a steady pitcher, but prior to St. Louis, he was not even a fantasy like option that I recall, just because he was a high ERA kind of guy, like four plus. And but St. Louis, there must have been a Dave Duncan mechanical fix or something that just revitalized his motion. But yeah, I think the soreness, I know he had been dealing with, and I hadn't heard that it really affected him in his last start, but that also is just what everyone has heard, and kind of it's all speculation. But he doesn't walk very many batters, but he pitches to contact quite a bit, and that can always just be a up and down kind of thing. So I see him probably improving on the season as a whole, but right now just kind of in a rut. Probably not the best option to throw out there unless really desperate, just because he hasn't gotten a lot of wins yet. He's 1-6 on the year. So, yeah, I guess I would look at other options first.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Kyle Loesch. I don't think the early spring or the fact that he missed most of spring training has anything to do with his struggles. I think he got hot in St. Louis and, well, that's it. His ERA is horrible, though. Well, it's not horrible, I guess. 4.37. 1-6. Then you got to take into consideration who he pitches for, too. The Milwaukee Brewers aren't exactly lighting the world on fire, are they, Nick?
No, it's offensively, it's strange because they had a really bad month of May, and their offense, they have 3 to 4 guys who are hitting above 300, but still they haven't produced enough runs, and then there's just been all of the starters have been, it's like a bad formula. Starters have been throwing short, it's wearing out the bullpen. The bullpen was pitching well, but then now it's starting to get worn out. So it's kind of it builds off each other a little bit. And they did have a decent showing in Philadelphia this weekend, but yeah, it's just a lot of injuries and tough go in May.
A very tough go, and I don't think it's going to get much better down there. But yeah, they definitely have some problems. And Kyle Loesch is part of that right now, and I would steer very clear of this guy. I wouldn't take him unless it was like dire emergency. Here's when I would pick him up. This is what I decided to do, Nick. I've been running a stringer with one of my pitchers where every day, because my team is so bad, I have nothing to lose. And I take the hottest available probable pitcher and I insert him every day in that spot. If Kyle Loesch was pitching against, say, Miami or Houston or, let me see, the New York Mets, I would take him then because he could probably get through that. But outside of that, I don't know, because he got really roughed up his last time out, didn't he?
Yeah, it was a rough go for him, just like location-wise, and then there was some, I believe, had a little home run issue, and and that was a Minnesota team that's kind of had their ups and mostly downs this season, I guess. And the NL Central, I think the last few years has kind of been, critiqued as not one of the strongest, but there's three teams with Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and St. Louis that all have very strong offenses and are battling at top in the NL kind of right now.
And Milwaukee shouldn't have that bad of an offense either. You know, if they get a couple of their kids back healthy, you know, they could probably put a little run together. I think that they're not as bad as what some people make them out to be, but still in all, tough one. I would leave Kyle Loesch alone. You know, he's like the pretty girl in the bar. You're not the only one who wants him. You better have a pretty good game. And he just doesn't.
I guess she doesn't have Scott Boras as her agent. He's either kind of deterring people in the spring, probably.
Exactly. That was pretty good. That was a good one. Anyway, Wade Miley is another person that people want to talk about or want us to talk about. Wade Miley. And, well, Wade hasn't exactly lit it up either, has he?
No, and the latest I've heard is there's kind of some speculation that he may lose his rotation spot, which pretty much erases his current fantasy value. And I think that's possibly when Daniel Hudson returns from the disabled list. And Hudson's a good option. It's going to be a little uncertain as to whether coming off an injury, how he'll be, but like Miley has really, he had a rough go against the Cubs on Friday, gave up 7 runs. And so, yeah, I think he may be on the outs of the rotation there, but they think Daniel Hudson, though, might not be returning until almost July. So that would give him another month. But at the same time, he has a 5 ERA in the season and definitely not the same guy that everyone saw last season. Which was a pleasant surprise for the Diamondbacks. And so, yeah, it's tough at this point. He'd be difficult to own.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you have a team ERA that's has issues, he's not going to help you. You know what, though? The thing is, even as wild as he is, and he'll probably get another month, like you said, Arizona scores runs. And that's something we have to keep in mind, too. They do score runs, but then, well, that might help you in the win column, maybe. Nothing else here, Will. He has 49 strikeouts in 64 innings pitched. That's well below what he had last year. I don't know, man. I would probably take a pass on this fella, too. His career ERA is 3.85. That's what he did last year. And right now it's at 5.01. My, oh, my. I would be very, very careful about him, too. Boy, these guys, I think some of our listeners are already digging in the bottom of the barrel. What do you think, Nick?
A little bit. It's been tougher than normal, I think, this year, just with injuries and player struggles, too. So.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not trying to insult them because I'm in the same boat. Oh. That's for sure. I've had nothing but injuries, and Hanley Ramirez may come back this week. Hopefully, and we'll see how long he stays in the uniform. If you have any Los Angeles Dodger players on your roster, I would release them because they're going to wind up on the DL because everyone on that baseball team, except for Clayton Kershaw and Adrian Gonzalez, has seen time on the disabled list already this year. Wait, Andre Ethier hasn't been either. That's kooky, isn't it?
Yeah, that makes it tough to win.
Gosh, I do on Friday with a segment of the Dodgers with Eric Steven from True Blue LA, and it's like every week it's the walking wounded, because every week they lost two more guys this week. Kemp is on the DL, and they just put AJ Ellis on the DL. The whole team is on the disabled list. It's unbelievable. But anyway, we had a question here about Michael Young. Michael Young's always been one of my favorites for fantasy. And this year, he has definitely not disappointed me much. What do you think about Michael Young?
I think he's a good player, kind of thinking about him, not of what he used to be with the Rangers, because he's later on in his career, 36 years old, and he has decent, I'm not positive on his position eligibility these days now, but I know he at least is at probably third, and I'm not sure if they have eligibility anywhere else at this point, but he doesn't have the power he used to, which he never really was a huge power guy, but he was great for his position at short, and now, I mean, if comparing him to third baseman as a whole, he probably isn't really in the top category by any means. But, his batting average is definitely down, too. He's hitting .258 this season. But if he can still bring value and kind of a dependable bat who can drive an occasional run, too. So probably definitely not comparing him to what his previous years of his career. He's definitely got some value still.
Yeah, I think so. He does have some. I have him on one of my teams, and he's okay. He has first base eligibility and third base eligibility in that league, so that's okay. But, his numbers are a bit down. He has played a lot of games, though, and he's had 178 at-bats already. .258, well below average. His on-base is .347, which is identical to his career. His slugging percentage is way down from his career, and his OPS is down. He's on the downward spiral of his career. But if you can grab him and you need somebody to, you know, fill those corners, this is a guy who gets hot, and when he does, he stays hot for a couple weeks. That's my experience with Michael Young. I like him a lot. I don't like the fact that he plays for the Phillies, but in fantasy baseball, it doesn't really matter who he plays for as long as he scores and rakes. I would pick him up for sure, especially in a National League only league. I would grab him for sure. In a 10-team mixed, I don't know. That would be a tough one. It depends. You know, you just have to look at your waiver wire. He is at least he's consistent, right, Nick?
Yeah, he is definitely in. In a standard league, he might not be worth owning, but NL only, he could definitely bring value. And the tough part is like first base, third base are kind of positions that are the power hitting positions, and he isn't really on that level. So that's where it would be if you're looking for the home runs out of that spot, then probably not. But I mean, depends on what you're looking for, I guess.
Yeah, I think you're right. Okay, well, you know what? We have about 7 minutes left, I guess. You want to give them some sleepers? You got anybody in mind?
I guess one that's recent, kind of an interesting one is, see if I can pronounce it right. Julio Teheran is from Atlanta. He's long been like a top pitching prospect for them, not just for the Braves, but in all of baseball. And then his major league stints in 2011, 2012, and even minor leagues were not going all that well. But I think he started to show a trend this season that he might finally be. And he's like, it's kind of people are already starting to not write him off all the way, but just be like, oh, he's not as much of a prospect anymore, but he's only 22 years old. And I mean, I still feel like I have a future in 22 years old, I hope. So but his trend this season, I feel like is something to look for. Is he's started off a little rough again, but since basically the month of May, he had starts of like one run or less than three earned runs in every start in May, and throwing deep into games. He's not a big strikeout pitcher. His last start, he struck out 9, but he's 3-2 on the season, which the Braves have actually kind of come back to earth offensively a little too. I think he's a very interesting pitcher, and he's in a kind of what more similar to Tim Hudson than a big strikeout pitcher, because he pitches to contact and can go deep into games. So yeah, I think he's an interesting guy to look at for this season. On the pitching side.
Absolutely. He's fantastic. What do you think about Tyler Lyons from St. Louis? He jumped last week, Nick. He jumped to 45% owned from 1.1% owned. He's just another in a long string of St. Louis possible aces, correct?
He's probably less highly regarded as Waka. He's a little older, not like he's 25, so lefty. It's I feel like he may be at this point a little more of a short-term guy. As far as just, I know Garcia's done for the year. Westbrook is getting closer. I don't know how close he is, but I feel like Westbrook will be, once he's back, he'll be back in the rotation. Lance Lynn is there, Wainwright. It's a pretty, with Miller and Waka, it's just, eventually there's going to be too many guys. So I feel like Lyons may be the odd man out, but he is a lefty. So it's tough to say. I don't know. He's had a good couple starts since he's been up. So I'm not sure on him yet. Definitely they have plenty of prospects, even though they're already a top team in the NL.
They got a boatload down there always. Crazy stuff. One guy on the way down, and I don't know why really, but AJ Griffin from Oakland is on the way down. He's pitched pretty well this year, I thought. What do you like about him, or don't like?
Oh, I think he's actually I picked him up in one of my leagues, and he had a rough go in one of his last starts. But I kind of look a lot of times when I'm like forming beginning of season, guys that had a hot finish the year before. It isn't always something that carried over, but Matt Harvey did pretty well in his, however many starts he threw last year, too, and that has definitely carried over. So, but Griffin, I know now he's up to a 4 ERA, but I feel like that'll come back down. He saw 15 starts last season, and I think in Oakland, they just, the pitchers, they do it right there, and forcing him to the big stage young, but I think he's one of their better pitchers right now, and definitely worth a look, and pretty good strikeout to walk rate. Not top of the league or anything, but still 7.3 strikeouts per nine innings. So I think he's definitely worth a look too.
Yeah, absolutely. I would take him in a heartbeat. He's 39% owned out there. You folks who are struggling with pitchers, he would be a decent one to pick up. He's not as bad as what it looks like. The problem is he have one bad outing and everybody dumps him. And I don't know. I don't play fantasy baseball that way. I'm certainly not picking on anyone who does. Anyway, Nick, great stuff tonight. Thank you so much for being a part of it.
Thanks for having me. It was a good time.
It always is. And you can find Nick Falk over at rotowire.com. And that's going to wrap it up for today's Phil Nason Show. Especially want to thank Nick for being here tonight once again, helping us out and helping you out with your fantasy baseball questions. And if you have questions and comments about fantasy baseball, you can catch me over at philnasons.com, and I'll be happy to put your question on the air and have it answered. Anyway, that's going to wrap her up. We have great stuff coming up for us this week. NBA basketball with Andy Flint on Wednesday. J.R. Wilco from Pounding the Rock will be here on Thursday. We're going to preview the Spurs and whoever they play, because we're recording this on Sunday night and I have no idea, but I hope it's the Indiana Pacers. And on Friday, we'll be talking baseball. Until then, you all take care of yourselves. Be good. And most importantly, thanks for listening. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you. My father thanks you. My sister thanks you. And I thank you.